Hello, and welcome to Bottom Line. I'm sure as we were young, as we're traveling, many times we always say, are we there yet? But, you know, as we age, the question might be a little bit more, are we old yet? And I have my guest for today's show, who's both a speaker and an author and has written a book, Are We Old Yet? And I'd like to introduce him to the audience here with us. And I'm so excited to have him on the show here with us, Gary Cole. Welcome, Gary, to the show.
Hi, Cindy. Thank you very much for having me on your show.
You know, as we all age, I think everybody's looking to understand, what does it mean? How do we age gracefully, as we always hear? And what, you know, what can we do to live longer and live happy and so forth? And so maybe you can tell us first a little bit about yourself, because you're a baby boomer, as many of us are these days. And you're also what's called a silver tsunami. Could you talk to us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, thank you, Cindy. And yes, you nailed it. I am a baby boomer. And that may be one of the most important things your audience may want to know. I'm part of this very large, important demographic comprised of people born between 1946 and 1964. And actually, Cindy, I've had a recent birthday, and I'd like you to, and I have a new way to declare my age. So if you don't mind, ask me how old I am.
All right. Gary Cole, how old are you now?
Cindy, I'm so glad you asked that question. I am actually 31 years away from my 100th birthday. Now, if my wife were in the room, she would grimace because she doesn't like the way I say that. And she is quick to remind me that I'm very optimistic with that. And she'd be right, because the chances of me reaching 100 years old in America is less than 1%. However, so now you know five things about me. You know I wrote a book. You know I'm a baby boomer. You know I'm married. You know I want to live a long time. And you know I'm a very big optimist. But I want to talk about baby boomer just for a second, because it's an important topic. And you mentioned silver tsunami. Yes, we are part of a silver tsunami with data that drives this large wave. Actually, 11,000 people turn the age of 65 every day in the United States. And by the year 2034, there'll be more people over 65 than there are young children under the age of 18. And the seismic shift is so large, we're finally can't be ignored anymore. And I love it. Matter of fact, culture and society has acknowledged us and embraced us with the movies like The Bucket List and Age of Adeline, and one of my favorite from Disney, Up. We have TV shows like The Golden Girls, and The Kominsky Project. It's a great, great show. And for the first time in my life, anyway, it's cool to be old. You know, we still have football players and cheerleaders that are cool. There's Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, and Taylor may be a little cooler than Travis. But you know who else is cool? Clint Eastwood, age 93, is cool. James Earl Jones, 93, is cool. Dick Van Dyke is very cool at 98. Carol Burnett's 90, still cool. Barbara Eden, still my dream of genie. And Tina Turner, who did pass away at 83, will always be cool. So yes, the silver tsunami has made things kind of cool for us older people.
Exactly. So, you know, and what you talked about is, and everyone, when they hear those names, who can relate to them and that, but look at that age and say, wow, that's amazing. How did they live to 90? How are they 93? How are they 80? How are they 70? Now, I understand a little bit with your wife saying 31 years till 100. But a lot of times, if you think it the other way, you're like, geez, half my life is over. You know, it's not an optimistic or a way to try to keep your mindset being happier. Now, I know you wrote about the book, and I know that you believe and want people to feel, you know, an optimistic in that. And in fact, you have what you call 35 conversations in your book, not just called chapters. Can you talk us a little bit about the book and those conversations, and perhaps which one might be your favorite out of 35?
Yes. So I did write a book, and I'm going to go ahead and show you the book. The book is called Are We Old Yet? And by the way, that title, you made reference to the, Are We There Yet? And that story actually had a big influence on Are We Old Yet? And it is a casual conversation about aging. And it's the result of the research I did on the topic of aging, because I didn't know how to age well. And we'll maybe talk about that a little bit more. So the casual conversation is a mix of scientific research, nostalgia, personal stories that make it sort of a lighter read. It's not a science book per se, but it has a lot of scientific research in it. And it does provide a very optimistic outlook on getting older. And you'd mentioned, yes, there are 35 chapters that I call conversations that cover a wide, wide range of topics, all relating to aging. And but all of the topics do, in fact, have some relative to aging. Now, you mentioned a question, do I have a favorite? What are some of my favorite topics? And it's a difficult question to answer. And my cop-out answer is this. I always enjoyed the one that I was researching at the time and writing about the time. But if you may, I'm going to change the question just a bit to provide a better answer. So the question I'm going to ask myself is, what do I think the audience might like? What might be their favorites? Because there's such a wide variety that people, like any conversation, will like some topics better than the others. So here's my answer to the question. The science people will love the conversations with regard to the biological explanation on aging. Oh, I talk about the 14 hallmarks of aging. What makes us old? Like telomere shortening and senescent cells and mitochondria dysfunction. Those science people will love that. The romantics are going to love the conversation that I call If Not Now, When? And there's a story about my wife and I, and it doesn't get weird, but there's a story about how at this age we need to ask ourselves, if not now, when? The self-help people are going to love the chapter about who am I now? It's the transition into retirement and our purpose in life, because our purpose in life is really something we need to embrace as we age. Business people are going to love the conversation that I call old, it's time to rebrand. I actually am a former marketer in my day. And so I actually go through a SWOT analysis, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. I'm getting old. And there's a fun story about my trip to Haight-Ashbury that we all embraced at one time. So there's something for everyone in those 35 conversations. And I think there'll be something for anybody who wants and as they grow older.
Right. And I think that makes, you're right. Because out of 35 and what you described there, whether, you know, somebody has a business background and a focus, or that's their mindset still, or someone who likes those scientific details, and I can relate to that, or, you know, stories and romantic and all that. I think that's what's great, is such well-rounded to give everybody something that they might need to be interested in and expose them to maybe some other areas and conversations that maybe not so much. But now you mentioned, and I think as we all talk about and everybody struggles with, you know, getting old, what's our purpose or what do I do now? You know, they look into their retirement years and they're so used to either raising a family and children and going to work and all that, and boom, 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 and all of a sudden retirement comes in that. But can you talk a little bit about maybe what and how you ended up even wanting to write this book, which I think you talked about maybe a reunion of yours that maybe started this whole process.
Yes. And all of that is just so true. And I wrote a book, and I'm going to tell you a story of a memory, a very fond memory of mine. Small, very small story, but it really planted the seed in my mind about why I wanted to write the book. So 6 years ago, I attended my 45-year high school class reunion. So yes, let me do the math for you. At 45-year class reunion, I was 63 years old, and that's very, very important to the story. So as part of the weekend activities, there's a big group of us that went to the high school, the homecoming game on Friday night. You know, Friday Night Lights, one of the best times in high school for me anyway. And so we returned to that fond memory. And at the end of the game, we were going to lose badly. And so as fans do, they tend to funnel out at the last of the game. And this group of high schoolers, the kids were leaving, and they looked up at our group and somebody yelled out, "Wow, look at all those old people up there!" And so my first, I didn't laugh. My first reaction actually was to look around to see who could they be talking about, but I quickly came to the realization they were actually talking about me and my group. So it was really the words of that obnoxious teenager. I said that out loud. Who made me think for the first time in my life at the age of 63, am I old? And I wasn't ready to be old because I didn't know how to do it. Now, make no mistake, getting old is easy. You live your day, you go to bed, you wake up the next day, and you just keep doing that enough times until one day an obnoxious 16-year-old looks at you and says, you must be old. But I wanted to know how to do it well, how to age well, how to age gracefully. So I started to do research, hundreds of articles and books and podcasts. One book that I read actually is a great book I recommend. It's called Live Long and Die Short. written by Roger Landry, a medical doctor from Harvard. And that book title actually could be a mantra about how we all want to live, live long and die short. So the research I did, I learned a great deal. I learned that aging and getting older wasn't going to be easy, but I also learned that aging, there's a lot we could do. There's a lot of things that we can influence our aging and that aging journey in a positive way. And so that's what I wanted to do. I wrote a book about it, and that's what I did. Now, I've been interrupted by my large dog who wants to get in. So let me let her in as we make this.
Absolutely. And what is her name?
Her name is Shasta, and Shasta. There she is on the wall.
And one thing, you know, it makes me think about when you talk about whether young people do that, and now just Shasta with, you know, animals and pets, they play such a huge role. And I know this is a little bit off topic from the book, but to me, you know, the animals always play a big role. You see many times when they have therapy dogs that go to the hospital or with the kids, you know, if they had a traumatic experience, being able to talk to them. But even as we get older, you know, any place that I've ever been, a dog or something walks up and someone instantly has a smile. So I think that all kind of goes like with you said, with the mindset. And what is your mindset? If you think you're old and feel old, or do you feel like you have a lot of years still to go and a lot of things that you still want to do? And I think that hits people at different times in different ways. And I was going to ask you, with your research that you did, was there something that, you know, stood out that maybe you yourself didn't realize or think about?
Yeah, Cindy, everything you said about animals and the dog is so true. And they just become part of our life and part of our purpose in life, which we're not going to get to today, but it is an important topic. But yeah, I'm going to answer your question. One of the interesting things that I discovered right off is about genetics. For example, did you know that we share 53% of our genes with a banana? I didn't know that. Now, maybe a closer to home is that we share actually 99% of our genes with every other human being on the planet, which is also maybe almost as hard to believe as the banana story. But let me bring this genetic discussion into perfect relevance to aging. You know, for years, we always thought that our genetics was the cause of our health and aging. And there's really nothing we could do about it. We're predetermined to either live long or not. And in the 1990s, there were studies that showed that is just not true. As a matter of fact, the studies went on to show that our genetics is really only between 20 to 40% of our longevity lifestyle and even our health. And really, aging is a complex process determined by a number of factors, genetics being one of them, but also our environment and many, many lifestyle choices. And you know what? That is a starting point about aging in our aging process. It's not predetermined. And we have a great deal of influence on how we age and how we age healthy. And that was a big, big learning experience for me.
Right. And, you know, Gary, you mentioned, you know, and you talk about in your book, the, you know, life choices. And I think a lot of us go back and we say, well, there's some things we could have or maybe or should have done differently. Now, we made some life choices in our past and there's some things that we, you know, you just maybe can't change. But when you talk about life choices in your book, what are people going to expect to see or read when you talk about life choices helping versus genetics as we age?
Yes. And I write about a lot of that in the book. And the good news is there's so much beyond my book that's been written about it, many books and articles and podcasts. And amazingly, the advice tends to get very similar. And that's great news. There's no magic, if you will, or voodoo to aging well. As a matter of fact, as it turns out, the advice I gave to my kids when they were growing up is a great place to start. Sleep well, eat well, and exercise, and you're going to grow up big and strong. That's what I would tell them. Well, apparently, it's also going to help us remain healthy, happy, and live a long life. Now, as I mentioned, there's a lot of experts that I quote in the book and people I don't even quote, but I'm going to give some advice, if you will, from arguably the best experts in the world. The people from the Blue Zones. Now, if your audience doesn't know about the Blue Zones, let me just tell you, there are five places in the world that have the longest living people and the most centenarians, people who live to be over 100. Now, this part's important. They're not just old, they're also healthy and happy. They age well, if you will, and that's so important. So there was a National Geographic expedition led by a man by the name of Dan Buettner, who did the research to conclude that there were common lifestyles between these blue zones that contributed to the long, happy life. And it was called the Power of Nine. Now, I'd like to share with you, if you will, and this is going to take a couple of minutes, the Power of Nine.
Now, before you do that, Gary, I'm curious how the name Blue Zones came up. And I think it's amazing. And I'm it's really exciting to hear that, hey, there's five places around this world that have people who lived to 100 or over 100, and they're still healthy, because that's a key, as we say. But I'm curious on the name Blue Zones.
Oh my gosh, you've asked me a question that stumped me. And I should know that, because the Blue Zones have actually become very, very popular. Dan Buettner has written a series of books, and actually a cookbook. And all of his books are bestsellers. And there's actually a Netflix special on the Blue Zones that came out and was a hit about 5 or 6 months ago. And I don't remember him ever explaining why the Blue Zones. So Cindy,
I could make a guess from what I've seen and heard, or somebody says, you know, blue zone, blue hair, which not blue, bright blue, but an elderly person, you know, maybe, but it still would be definitely interesting in that. But I will let you go ahead and tell us where those folks live, because I'm curious to know, is there anyone nearby?
Yes. And actually, you've definitely challenged me to be able to want to go and find out that answer. And I would encourage the audience to also go ahead and look that up and say, why the Blue Zone? So let me tell you where those Blue Zones are, and then I'm gonna share with you the Power of Nine, because it is very, very important. So the five Blue Zones are Icaria, Greece; Loma Linda, USA. So that's the closest one, actually. Nicoya Peninsula, Costa Rica; Okinawa, Japan; and also Sardinia, Italy. Those are the five Blue Zones that he has studied. And actually, he's actually looking at Singapore now and some of the things that they are doing in Singapore that makes it possibly a sixth Blue Zone. But let me share with you the Power of Nine, because this is, I want to share with the audience, these are nine things that these people, and there's nothing fancy here, these are the things that they do to live a long, healthy, and happy life. So number one, they move naturally. Now, we call this exercise. We go to the gym, we do Zumba, we lift weights, but they call it living. They walk to the grocery store, they ride a bike to meet their friends, they work in the garden, they play with their grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and they just, movement just becomes part of their life. Second thing, and this is maybe, in my opinion, one of the biggest, they live with purpose. In Okinawa, they call it ikigai, or the reason to wake up in the morning. And it's big and it's important, but the purpose doesn't have to be grandiose. They're not looking to cure cancer, although I hope somebody does. But they wake up and they take care of their garden, they hold their grandchildren, or they become someone's best friend. It's just a reason to look forward to the next day. They live with purpose. Number three, downshift, dealing with stress. We all have stress in our life, and how we deal with it is so important. So in Okinawa, they remember their ancestors, and the Adventists read their Bible. The Icarians take a nap. I'm good with all these things so far. And the people in Sardinia have a happy hour every day and drink the world's healthiest wine made with the Kanawha grape. Number four, the 80% rule. I'm going to mispronounce this word. It's the Hara Habuchi. It's a 2,500-year-old Confucian mantra that says, stop eating when you're 80% full. Basically, don't overeat. And number five, nutrition. And yes, we knew this was coming. They eat less meat, eat more vegetables and fruits. They favor beans and plants. And it's sort of that Mediterranean diet. Number six, they do drink red wine after 5 o'clock. And as my wife would tell us, it's 5 o'clock somewhere all the time. Number seven, I'm almost done. Number seven, they belong. They belong to some safe, faith-based community. And it doesn't matter which one, but there's a chapter in my book, actually, that talks about the science of spirituality. And whatever that spirituality is, it helps improve our well-being, health, and longevity. Number eight, almost done. Loved ones first. It's all about the family. And I love the quote from one of the centurions from Okinawa that describes the feeling of holding her grandchildren And she says it feels a little bit like jumping into heaven. And number nine, the ninth one, have the right tribe. The world's longest living people are very social. They choose friends who they like and support that healthy living lifestyle. And all of those things are so, so important.
You know, and Gary, yeah, thank you. And I'm sure people can either maybe were taking notes or maybe they can rewind and kind of see those. I mean, and as you started to say them at the very beginning, a lot of them are things that we should be doing and maybe have been doing. Nothing that's hard to do, you know, and it's all things that I think help keep people moving, eating healthy, thinking positive, or being around people that help support them instead of bring them down. And so I think it's, you know, it's a wonderful thing that people can say, hey, these are some things that aren't that hard to do and can help someone extend maybe their life, and not just extend their life, but extend their quality of life. And I think that's one thing you talk about too is, you know, optimism, and you have something called the happy conversation. Can you talk about the happy conversation?
Oh my gosh. You know, I'm looking at the time and the happy conversation, I'm going to touch it and then maybe go to the close in the interest of time. There's a book, and I can't remember the title of the name, called The U-Shaped Curve, The Age of Every Curve. And in it, the author makes the point that at this time in our life, should be one of the happiest times in our life. The U-shape is we start in our younger years up here and we're very happy. In our middle years, we sort of drop down. And then as we grow older, we can become happier. And I think part of that is because the wisdom that we gain, and I don't speak of that softly, it's very important. The wisdom we gain allows us to deal with life and allows us to become happier. And it's a great conversation in the book. And it's just a great topic because it is one of the three things that I believe helps us age well. And that's health, happiness, and a long life.
And if someone said, Gary, to you, you know, so how do we continue to be optimistic? How do we continue to be happy? You know, and I think realistically, we all know it's hard to do it 24/7 every day because there's, you know, things that can do that. But when you think in things with the blue zone and the power of nine, how does that do, you know, are people creating and keeping their own happiness and their own optimism in their mindset?
You know, optimism is part of that happiness, Cindy. And we wonder, optimism is important at any age, but it's critical, I would say, at our age and as we grow older. There's a famous quote from Winston Churchill. I admit, I am a full-blown optimist. And this quote probably provides my slant on the topic. And Winston Churchill says, a pessimist sees a difficulty in every opportunity, whereas an optimist sees an opportunity in every difficulty. And that's sort of what I believe. Now, let me connect the dots specifically between optimism and aging. 2019 study from the Boston University said that people who tend to be optimistic are more likely to live to be 85 years or older. And other research goes on to say that optimism reduces the risk of depression, heart disease, and all chronic diseases. And yes, on average, live to be 11 to 15% older. Now, the question becomes why? You know, my short answer might be because they want to. The longer answer, based on science, is that they enjoy a healthier lifestyle, they have greater achievement, they become healthier due to lower stress, and they have a better sense of purpose. So yes, optimism can absolutely lead to a longer, better, healthier life.
Absolutely. So, Gary, I'm going to ask you a personal question, as in, if you look back at the younger Gary, were you this way early on in your life? Did you see something change as you grew older? Or has this kind of been something that's been part of your life going for, you know, from when you were young till now?
That's a great question. And I will say this, I've always been an optimist. But something happened in my life many, many years ago, 19 years ago. And I want to share that story because it sort of shows it was a driving force behind how I approach aging. And the story goes back to my wife and I used to take the kids up to Oscoda, Michigan for family camp. And the first time we went there, it was the first time my kids took a long road trip. And it was the first time that I heard that those infamous lines, are we there yet? And it did, in fact, influence the name of the book, Are We Old Yet? There's a direct connection. Anyway, the trip was uneventful until we got into Ascota. My son complained of stomach ache. And sure enough, he was car sick and he ended up being sick. But we went on to camp, and our cabin was 10 minutes away from the parking lot. And so I put him on my shoulders and I carried him to our cabin. And as we did, his mood started to change. He saw the woods and the lake and the families playing games. And just before we arrived at the cabin, Parker shouted, "Today is the first best day ever. Today is the first best day ever." So now, as I find myself on this aging journey, so much is changing, some good, not so good. I find myself thanking God every night before I go to bed for my family and friends and health. But I wake up the next day and I say, I'm reminded of those words of the six-year-old boy, "Today is the first best day ever." And as I age, that's kind of my mantra. How can I make this day my first day ever? So a long answer to your short question, but I think that, yep, I've always been an optimist, but I've also been influenced as to incidents in my life.
Right. Now, do you find maybe with yourself and your wife, you mentioned too, in your personal interactions with your friends and that, do you find that, it's hard for you not to consult them from some things from your book to try to make them maybe feel more happy or optimistic?
My interaction with my friends, I've been fortunate. I have great friends and I make it a point because aging in friendship is very, very important too. Relationships. And there's a section in my book that says relationships may be the single most important thing that drives our happiness. And so that's very important. So my relationship, my friends, I will say that all of my research has sort of led my relationship to change a little bit, because people are going to know that I'm probably going to be talking about different topics about aging and how to grow old better. And so whether I bring it up or they bring it up, it oftentimes will come around. And a lot of my friends are similar ages, so yeah, they have a tendency to want to talk about it. Sure. But I have to catch myself and say, I don't want to try to dominate the conversations. I want to make sure I understand all the other things that are happening in their life. So it's a good dynamic, let's just say.
Yes. And you're right. I know even with my friends, when we were younger, our conversations were a little bit different. Now that we're older, we're talking about knees and hip operations and and certain doctors and so forth. But while we just have another minute or so left, I do want to ask the question about the cover of the book, showing mm-hmm. coffee and the smiley face. And can you comment on that, Gary?
Yes, the cover of the design had a couple of interesting segues based on a couple of accidents and a last minute conversation. I ran an international contest. We had over 100 entries. And the direction I gave them was the content is aging and casual conversation. And always casual conversation to me always has a cup of coffee. So the designer came up with a smiley face and reflects the attitude of the book. Smiley face. Optimistic outlook on getting older. Then one night I wondered if the smiley face was in fact trademarked. And I found out at 11 o'clock at night one night, yes, it is. I tracked down the son of the originator, and it wasn't Forrest Gump. The originator was Harvey Ball, who designed it in 1963 and made $45 for the design. And his son, Charles Ball, now retired lawyer, gave me permission to use the smiley face. So that's how that whole smiley face and coffee connection sort of came about.
Yeah. And that's just amazing. Amazing. Well, Gary, I just want to say thank you so much for sharing all this great information about the book. I think, things like optimism and being in the happiness and also I think that your six-year-old son, when he was six, they're saying the first best day ever is probably something, a mantra that everyone can use. Because I think, again, our outlook can really help what our day is going to be like. So thank you again for sharing everything with us about your book. And, if somebody asked me the question, are we old yet? I'd like to try to say, no, not yet.
That we can save for another conversation. It's a good one. Cindy, thank you so much for having me on your show.
Thank you so much. And I'd like to thank our audience for watching. And I hope that you found a lot of this information great and a lot of information with the power of nine. So I wish everyone a great day and the best of health. I'm Cindy Kainz.